What do you think is the number one thing Christian parents want help with or teaching about?
Potty training. That's got to be it. Potty training. I'm kidding. Although that would be up there to top.
The parents in it are thinking
maybe.
That.
I know that what we wanted, and in this generation, it's crucial as ever, is how do we lead our kids to Christ, and how do we mentor them into being fully devoted Christ followers as they become men and women.
And I'm seeing parents are more fearful about that than ever before, because maybe it feels like culture is weighing in and pressuring their families more than ever. I'm sure it's always been that, but they're feeling it more and more.
Yeah, I know we were like running the bookstores, listening to tapes.
Tapes.
You hear that? Tapes.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com or on the Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
We've got Jared Kennedy in the studio with us. You've written a book called Keeping Your Children's Ministry on Mission. Obviously, that has to do with the church, but this is also a family issue. So welcome to Family Life Today, Jared.
It's so good to be with you, Dave.
I'm guessing this has been something you're passionate about your whole life, or since you became a dad, what?
Yeah, since I became a dad, for
which is,
sure.
Which is 18 years ago.
Which is 18 years ago.
You look like you were surprised. Like, I don't remember. I mean, you've been a dad a long time. I mean, were you always passionate about family discipleship even before you got married? Or is this something that grew as you got married?
I think it's definitely something that grew as I got married. And I think it's something I grew into. When you have kids, you feel the anxiety of, oh, I'm responsible for these little girls. And then it's something you learn how to do. Over time, there were definitely men in my life who modeled what it looked like to pour into their children and that I learned to emulate and model my fatherhood after.
Now, everything we just talked about in terms of getting resources to families, this is what you do. Tell us what you do like on a daily basis.
I lead a ministry called Gospel-Centered Family, and we do coaching for children's ministers and youth ministers, helping come alongside the church to see them partner with families to raise up kids who will follow Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what we opened with. It's like, you're the person, you have the resources, the knowledge, the wisdom to help young families. So, I mean, that's where we want to go today. I mean, your subtitle is Practical Strategies for Discipling the Next Generation. So obviously we need them.
Well, you've been married 20 years. You have three daughters. And we have all these resources and books on the table. This is important to you to get tools into families' hands, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Where did that passion come from? I mean, to not just, you know, pour into our kids, but literally write books and give parents resources that can do that.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said a minute ago, there are guys who were model dads.
Now, talk about that. What kind of guys?
So there's a guy named Rob Plummer, who's an older guy, a little older than me. His kids are just a few years older than ours.
So a lot younger than us, but older than you.
And as a young couple, we were in his small group at church, and he modeled what it looks like to read stories to his little girls and sing with them before bed. He'd do little puppet shows with his kids, which I never did puppet shows. But, you know, Rob was just so intentional with his daughters, and his wife gave my wife, Megan, a Christmas devotional one year that walked through promises of Jesus from the Old Testament up till Christmas. So we started reading that with our three-year-old at home at the time. And the Lord used that to awaken in me this desire to see my girls grow up in the faith and know Jesus. And so that was a big part of that start for me.
Yeah, so that three-year-old, is she now the 18-year-old?
She is now the 18-year-old.
So is this something you've done? I mean, is it like something once a week, every night? How does it look in the Kennedy family?
Yeah, it changes as kids grow up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks a little different. And so when my kids were young, it was a bedtime routine. We would pray We had prayers that she would say back, and we had stories we'd read and music we would put on the CD player, I'll date myself.
CD?
When they were really young, just as part of the bedtime routine at night. Now that they're older and we've got track practice and cross-country practice and things going on during the week, we really set aside Sunday afternoon as our time to sit around the family table and have a weekly devotional together with our teenagers. And we're not using a storybook like the ones I've written. We're reading from the scriptures. We're reading through Esther right now and just kind of work through that and talk through the passage together as a family in a really conversational way.
That's great.
What's it like now with teenage girls? Because they range from 18 to 13. Do they ever give you the like, dad? Or has this been a routine that this is what you do? This is a practice that you really honor?
Even with routines that your family honors, you still get the,
I'm glad to hear that.
That's just super normal. Yeah. I think that's, developmentally, it's normal for teenagers. And I think you have to let that roll off your back as a parent. And this is what we do as a family. We're going to do it anyway. And different kids have good days and bad days. Yeah. Days they're more into it and days they're less into it. I think as kids get older, giving them more choice in the matter. Mm. And so a couple of years ago, I said before our oldest leaves the house, we're going to do the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments and kind of work through all three of those before she leaves. I just want to make sure she has that foundation. But in between each one, I would let them pick the book of the Bible we'd read. And the more choice you can give older kids, the more that can be directed by them, whether in prayer requests or the actual devotional you pick, the more ownership they have in that as they grow too.
So Jared, as you hear parents talk about this discipleship process, one of the things we've heard over the years is we have them at a Christian school, we bring them to church on Sunday.
Which is all good.
All great. But they're giving that responsibility more to those institutions instead of at home. What's that make you feel when you hear that?
The scriptures celebrate those things.
Yeah.
So it celebrates a community of faith that surrounds your kids and see them raised up in the faith. But it also gives the primary responsibility for discipleship to parents, to mom and dad too. And so I think of Psalm 78, which says he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed the law in Israel. So Jacob and Israel in that context are the covenant community. It's the whole people of God who have this responsibility to pass on faith to the next generation. And it says, and he commanded the fathers, and we know from back in Deuteronomy 6, what that looked like. It's as you walk along the road, as you sit down to eat, as you lay down at night, as you get up in the morning, those daily family rhythms that moms and dads have the responsibility to pass on truth to their kids as well. And so I think what we see in the scriptures is not a either or with that. You need a good, godly local church that you're a part of. It's great to have a Christian school and other leaders, godly older people in your kids' lives that they can look up to as coaches and teachers that are models of the Christian faith. But we also have that personal responsibility as mom and dad where we don't want to just, this is not something we ever talk about. You want to be intentional about confessing your own sins to your kids, intentional about teaching as well your children so that they grow.
You know, Psalm 78 and Deuteronomy 6 are like foundational passages for family life. They have been for decades. You know, when Ann and I got first exposed to family life, we were at a Family Life Marriage Weekend, remember? Dennis Rainey, the former president, spoke, and it was one. We're both pretty new in our faith. We're about 2 years in.
At that time.
Engaged. We're going to get married. And all I know is when I heard Psalm 78, which you just quoted, and it's in your book, Deuteronomy 6, we wrote a parenting book, and we based the whole book on Deuteronomy 6. It was powerful because I'm new in Christ, but it also was overwhelming as a young man, thinking, I don't know how to be a Christian husband, man, when I'm a Christian dad, I will have no clue. You know, I'm looking at it right here, what you just read, Psalm 78:5 says, he decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So you see this legacy. The reason I'm bringing it up, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, is when we had our first son, we had three boys that are now married and six grandkids. But when CJ was born, I felt overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I thought,
for sure,
I've never seen this. I had a dad who walked out when I was seven. So I'm like, never been in a Christian home, never seen it. I don't think I can do it. What am I going to do? And so my question, you know, sort of what we started with was, I don't know what to do. Where do I start? So if you had a young family that is inspired, because I was like, I'm doing this. I've never done it. I'm changing the Wilson legacy. This is going to be a different legacy. But I'm like, help. You know, I don't know what to do. Where would you tell them to start? Like, there's a young family listening right now, and they're like, this is my passion, but I'm not sure what the first step should be. What would you say?
Think about how old your kids are and what kind of routine is going to work with those kids, and adopt one routine, not 10. One.
Yeah.
One routine. I think if my kids were in middle school, that might be writing a Bible verse out and putting it on the dashboard of my car. And we, on the way to school, try to memorize that Bible verse every week. If your kid is a toddler, that's probably the bedtime routine at night, which they need anyway. They need that routine in order to get to sleep. So let's say prayers together. Let's read one Bible story together in the evening. And let's make that our routine each day. Yeah, if your kids are in high school and it's hard to get together around the family table because of all the extracurriculars, you know, pick the day that you can be together, whether that's Wednesday evening or Sunday afternoon. And this is our time that we're just going to commit to this being our time together, and we'll do something together.
Good.
Jared, what about the family? Let's say it's a couple that has teenage kids, they've never done any of this. Maybe their faith is even new at this point. And they're thinking, is it too late? Can I start now? And what will the kids think? What does that conversation look like with the kids? Have you talked to any parents that have been in that spot?
Yes, I have talked to families that have been in that spot. And one of the stories that I like to tell the church that I've been a part of for the past 16, 17 years is a church that's near the University of Louisville. We have lots of young college students. And I can't tell you how many testimonies of young believers in our church are, I was not raised in a Christian home, but something happened when I was in high school. My parents got saved, or my parents suddenly like got serious about their faith, and I hated it at first. You know, I did not want this like new routine, but I realized like something happened to my dad or something happened to my mom where they were more fervent in their prayer to me. They were more prayers for me. They were more fervent in us like having times where we got together and we read the Bible together. And a couple years into college, when I felt lost, I looked back at that and said, I want what they had. And so just know the Lord works in all kinds of ways, and it is not too late for your children to believe. I think we also just need to know that, yeah, our kids' salvation at the end of the day is not up to us, that the Lord is the one who does the saving. It is the Holy Spirit's work. We have a responsibility that we've been talking about to be the primary disciplers of our kids. And so we want to be obedient to God. We want to be intentional in that. And that is typically maybe the ordinary means by which God raises up godly kids. We have a daughter who's severely autistic, and for various reasons, like she doesn't fit like a normal developmental pattern. So if you have a kid who, for whatever reason, whether through rebellion or through like your family's faith story or through developmental challenges that they have that doesn't fit a normal pattern, know that that's not too big for God. God is bigger than that situation, and he's faithful to work. Be faithful to him and know that even when we're not faithful, he's faithful to work in each situation.
How important would you say, and you're living it right now, the parents modeling, living out their faith with fire, with passion. You know, when you go back to Deuteronomy 6, it says these commandments should be on your hearts.
Yes.
And then he says, you know, teach them to your children when you walk around the way and lie down. So he starts with the parents. So you're in that stage. I mean, you still got three kids in your home. How important do you think it is that mom and dad, or it could be just dad or just mom, or it could be a blended family, all kinds, that their kids are looking at you, that you're actually living what you're trying to teach?
I think so much of our faith is more caught than taught. I think them seeing your passion, but even in the times when you're not passionate, them seeing your willingness to confess sin and your repentance, them seeing your willingness to continue to do what's right, even when you're experiencing doubt or pain, to continue to go to church, continue to press in to community, even in the times that it's difficult, that model means so much for the next generation. And so I want to be careful, because at the end of the day, I want to say salvation belongs to our God and he works through all situations. So I don't want to put guilt on parents that maybe haven't been all the way there in the past. But be faithful now, be obedient, and know that so much of our faith is something that is caught. And sometimes it's not caught right when we want it to be caught as parents. It's caught years later. But be faithful and know that you have a faithful God who loves you.
Well, I remember, maybe you've seen this statistic as well. This was years ago. You know, as a pastor of a church, and we have our kids' ministry and our youth, you know, and we're really pushing our kids to get in the different ministries of the church. I saw a stat that said the chances of your kid staying close to Jesus after they leave your home are much higher if, when they go to the youth group, they come home and they see it in their home as well as the youth group. And it's much lower if they don't see it in their home. In other words, it almost was like, oh, church ministry to kids isn't that important. It is, obviously. But them seeing their parents or the same values being lived out in their home that they're hearing at church are extremely important, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, those studies, there's been a few different ones, Barna, Lifeway, Fuller. I think there's four different factors that they see as the top factors.
Let's hear it.
And the first is parents who model that godly faith for their kids, exactly what you've said. The second would be that your kid has a relationship with some older adult in their life who is not their parents, who models that faith to. And so I think that points to just the importance of that partnership with your local church, godly children's ministry leaders, godly local church leaders. I remember, you know, Miss Edwina in my church, who was who led our little Bible drill group, and just her faithfulness to pour into young kids. And a lot of those young kids are like in ministry in various ways now, because even when our parents weren't there, there was a godly Christian adult that was there. The third, honestly, is what they listen to. And so having godly Christian music, worship music that's playing in the minivan, and that's around when your kids are around, that is actually a factor, because music sticks and music teaches. And so finding some good worship music that you're putting on at various times is something that will stick with kids even beyond your house when they're listening to other things later on, potentially. And the last is them learning how to read the Bible and study the Bible themselves on their own. And so I think those family worship times, but also those youth group times in small group, that they're not just times for games and cut up, but they're times that we're actually reading the scriptures. We're learning to ask good questions about the scriptures and read and apply the Bible to our hearts. That habit is something that sticks with kids as they grow older.
Yeah, that's important. Yes. You know, one of the things probably would be number five. We just did a program a few months ago with Tim Kimmel and Larry Fowler. As they said, grandparents have a huge impact on their grandkids. And I mean, their whole program was step up, you know, realize you have a real role in their lives. I know we have grandparents listening. We have parents. We have young parents. The key is being there and walking beside them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that older adult who's not your mom and dad can be extended family, or it can be extended church family. And I think those people investing in the next generation. That's such an important
factor. We literally prayed for men to be in our sons' lives, and God brought three different guys.
Well, and we also were intentional. Like, Dave and I went to some of those guys and said, hey, could you, like, pour some time into our son? And I have a lot of friends, girlfriends, and honestly, we discipled each other's daughters just because they need to hear another perspective. And we had grown up with their daughters, and so we had relationships with them. And so we would just kind of pair up with certain daughters, certain moms, and we'd sit down, we'd talk to them, we'd go to lunch with them once a week, see what's going on. And we've walked our friends' daughters through a lot of different situations that were hard and difficult. But I think as parents, we can be praying and we can also be intentional and looking for, this person seems to have a personality that my child would really vibe with. I think those are great steps.
Yeah, Anne would meet with these daughters. She was like their godmother. And I loved it and I hated it because every time she met with them, which I knew was awesome, she's pouring into them, she'd always buy them something. That's why I hated it. Every time, I was like, do you have to spend money?
It was for their birthdays. I would take them on a shopping
spree. That's what she said it was. It was, I'm going over to their house and she'd get some. And we're going literally to one of their weddings this weekend.
Yeah.
I've done all three of their daughters' weddings as, you know, the pastor, but it's a powerful moment to have other people involved in your kids' lives. In fact, I look back and I think some of the impact of my sons was greater than me, was these other men in their lives and other families.
We'll hear more from Jared Kennedy in just a second with some practical advice, but you know, the whole family of God, the church, has the responsibility to pass on the faith to the next generation. And I love the call to model honesty, confession, and repentance in the home. It begins in the walls of our houses. And I know I've been learning that over and over again as a dad of both a middle schooler and an elementary schooler. So I'm deeply grateful for this conversation. And I'm Shelby Abbott. You've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Jared Kennedy on Family Life Today. You know, Jared's written a book called Keeping Your Children's Ministry on Mission: Practical Strategies for Discipling the Next Generation. That book is available to you in the Family Life Resource Center at familylifetoday.com. And if you were able to listen earlier this week, you heard from Dean and Sarah, who's written a book called Pure. It's about why the Bible's plan for sexuality isn't outdated, irrelevant, or oppressive. That book is going to be our gift to you when you partner financially with us today in order to make more conversations like the one you heard today with Jared Kennedy actually possible. So you can go online to familylifetoday.com, or you can give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, the number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And feel free to drop us something in the mail. Our address is Family Life, 100 Leichhardt Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. All right, here's more with Jared Kennedy about what to look for when you start visiting colleges with your kids.
You know, my oldest is 18, and so we're in the midst of doing college visits. And one of the things that I learned this from Michael and Melissa Kruger, asking Melissa Kruger, who works with me at the Gospel Coalition, just asking her questions about what they've done with their children. And she said, whenever we did a campus visit, we also did a church visit.
Wow.
And so
Good idea.
Planned that over the weekend where we could also visit a local church or a college ministry there. And so we're here at Crew headquarters. I think what Crew is doing on college campuses, but then getting to know local churches near those college campuses and beginning to build relationships between, you know, your kids that you're sending off and the other believers that are in that community is an important bridge to build.
I would add, ask your daughter or son to research that. Hey, we want to look at some churches. Why don't you start looking up some churches that look interesting to you? Because I know our kids are like, oh, now you're going to tell me where to go to church, you know?
So that's so good.
Give them a say in what looks interesting to you. And I'd love to see, like, maybe we could all visit as a family when we do that college visit.
That's so good.
And if you're interested in some personal coaching, Jared Kennedy does offer that on the Gospel Centered Family website, which you can find listed in the show notes. Now, tomorrow, David and Wilson are going to be joined again by Jared Kennedy, talking about how we want our children to see the end of their competence and start looking toward Jesus. That's tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.